We're starting to move on to the social side of Fielding and Platt, and you've got a smile on your face when you're telling us these stories. Can you just tell us about the kind of general sort of social atmosphere of working at Fieldings? And you talked about going to the sports ground of a lunchtime. Can you remember like a few stories that sort of sum up the social side of Fieldings?
We did have a skills team. I mean, the Fielding and Platt Sports Club used to be is where Gloucester City, their ground is flooded and they're looking for somewhere else. But at the time back then it was Fieldings. But we used to go down on a lunchtime and have a kick about. I mean, the football pitch was the same then as it is now. And we just lark about down there, you know, kick the ball around and. I think we had a skills team as well. I'm not sure if that was the apprentices or the machine shop in general. But I know there was other Fielding and Platt teams in there. But we used to go down for that, and that was a good one. But the trouble is you had to get the bus into town if you were going to drink, and then you end up getting the bus home, you know. So that's that. If you were going to go on your moped or your motorbike, that spoiled the fun a little bit because you couldn't drink.
And did the social club was actually at the sports ground then?
Yeah.
And so you said they had a bar. What sort of facilities did they have out there then?
It was a lot smaller then than it is now, but I think that was probably it really, the skittle alley and a couple of a bar and a lounge maybe. That was about it. I mean, when Gloucester City took it over, they built the stand and they made the clubhouse bigger and the changing rooms and all that. So it's nothing now like it used to be back then. I mean, it was down that Submeadow Lane. That was just a little track, I think, at the time, you know. It was in the back of Beyond.
Would you have sports on a Wednesday down there, or didn't that happen in your day?
I don't think that happened in my day. No, we used to go down on our lunch break, but we just have a kick about wheel. Or even just a wander around the field, you know. It wasn't organised in any way. It was
thinking about the area surrounding Fieldings at the time you were there. You mentioned Ginger Cole and his sort of news agents. Can you remember what that area was like at the time that you were working at Fieldings? The shops, maybe the characters that were there in the area.
We used to go out, and there was a on Southgate Street there was a square with a tree planted in it and like a brick wall, and if it was a nice sunny day we'd sometimes go and sit on the brick wall and watch all the ladies that worked at Wingate going up and down and wolf whistling and whatever. But there was a chip shop just over the road as well, which was nice. And there was the pub. Is it the New Inn? No, the New Pilot. The New Pilot. We used to go over there. If tech was on a Thursday, you'd come down to Fieldings and get your wages, and then you might go over the New Pilot for a pint. Other than that, if someone was leaving or if someone was getting married or whatever. I can remember John Seddon got married. And he got chained to that tree, and he also had a ball and chain on his leg as well. So he was double not going anywhere. And I think the fire brigade cut him free. But would
these have been Fielding made chains?
Oh yeah, knocked up in the welding bay. Yeah, probably a lifting chain or something like that that had been scrapped off and. Someone had kept just for that. But I mean, I can't remember if it was a ball or whether it was just a big heavy lump of steel that there was no way you were going to shift, like with your ankle. Not without scraping half your skin off. So, but he couldn't go anywhere anyway because he was chained to the tree. So,
And I want to come back to just the time that you spent in the light machine shop, if that's all right. Can you remember any of the particular jobs that you worked on during your time there?
Oh, no, because they're all the same to me, and I'm still doing them now. I can't remember what I was doing last week. They used to do a lot of valve spindle type of work. It was fiddly. There was lots of grooves in it. There was threads. The other one was studs. I used to do a lot of studs. And I think they used to give me the studs just so I could get practice at screw cutting. But if you want to know about a thread, you ask me right hand, left hand, square, Acme, bicycle. I can rattle them off and 55 degrees and 60 degrees and core diameters and effective diameters. You know, it's engraved in me head as well, threads. I did quite a lot of thread cutting. I mean, even the thread cutting exercises, there would be like four or five, six threads on a job, and you know, one would be BSP and one would be metric and one would be Whitworth and one would be BSF. And but you know, it was all good training.
Just a sort of final thing about general feels for the Fielding and Platt works, the smells, the sights, the sounds of the works. Can you recall some of those, what it was like in the apprentice school and what it was like in the light machine shops?
When we first went into the apprentice school, it was everything. All the machines were painted. The last thing you did before you finished your 12 months in that craft school was to paint all the machines, and you'd be rubbing down the paintwork, and where the paint had got chipped or dented, you'd be sanding it down, and everything would get a new lick of paint, and all the vices got a lick of paint, whether they needed it or not. And you know, it was left totally spick and span. And everything, I mean, like I say, they had a little stores in there, you know, and you took it in turns to be in the stores for a week. So it would go through the craft school, you know, and everyone would have a week in the stores. But then you were responsible for if anything got lost, if it wasn't booked out. You know, if someone come along and said, have you got a half-inch AF spanner, and you give it to them and you didn't log it and that spanner wasn't there, then it was you to blame, sort of thing. But I can't remember anyone getting into trouble. I don't think anyone, I mean, nothing, you couldn't really lose anything. It was all in the craft school, and that was it.
And what about the light machine shop?
The light machine shop, now that was quite modern. That was quite a new building. It wasn't that old. But the heavy machine shop is a lot older. And a lot of the machinery in there was quite old as well. And there was always oily puddles on the floor. There wasn't the health and safety that there is now, you know. Some of the oily puddles that were out of sight could have been there for months. But they also had the heat treatment in the heavy machine shop. And that was a bit smelly as well. But engineering's got its own smell. And I know I probably smell of cigarettes as well, but I do smell of coolant. And you know, I can pick my jumper up in the morning and think, oh, coolant. But there's the smell of a machine shop. And if you're not in a machine shop for a fortnight or so, you know, if you go on holiday or whatever, when you come back you notice it. But it soon goes now. I mean, it's like your dogs, isn't it? If your dogs smell, they you get used to it, and other people will smell them and think, "Phew." But you get used to it.
And what about the sounds of the place? Was the machine shop a noisy place to work?
Oh, it's hellish noisy, yeah. Like I say, the light machine shop wasn't too bad. There was nothing too big in there. I think they did have one of the long lathes in there along the one back wall. But most of the machines in the light machine shop were pretty small. I mean, all the big hefty stuff was over the other side. I mean, some of their big milling machines, they were, you know, large as well. If you get a cut on and you get a bit of vibration, the bigger it is, the worse it is, or the worse it'll sound. But I can't remember anyone ever having ear defenders or earplugs or anything like that back then.
Were there ever any accidents?
Not that I know of. Not at Peelings.
So it's a fairly safe place.
I can't remember. Yeah, I mean, like I say, in that heat treatment, there was cyanide and all sorts. But as far as I'm aware, no one ever got hurt or anything. No one was ever injured there.
And are there other areas of the works or the area in which Fielding was that you remember that we haven't talked about?
There was the valve bay, but there was a couple of guys that worked in there putting the valves together, the valve spindles, and once they assembled them, they would go over to the fitting shop. We obviously made a press for Volvo and tried it out before we sent it, and the old-fashioned steel ones where the ends used to come down and they sort of curl in a little bit, but they were like big square things, and fire extinguishers, they're pressed out, well, they used to be. But basically, you start with a disc, and a press will come down, and it'll squash that disc into a hole, and you'll end up with a tube, and that's your fire extinguisher. Well, I can't remember seeing fire extinguishers. I remember seeing Volvo bumpers, yeah. But they weren't chrome plated or anything, so you wouldn't have wanted. If you had a Volvo, you wouldn't have wanted one anyway.
I'll have to find some pictures of Volvos from that time and have a look at them again if they were fielded.
Probably just before. Go for 1975. Go for 75, because by the time Fieldings had built the press and sent it out there and they were using it, I would say, yeah.
And have you got any other memories of Fielding that we haven't touched on? Some of the fun ones, some of the things that perhaps only you'd remember.
I think we've pretty much covered it now. I mean, it was a long time ago, 35 years ago. I'm proud to have served me time there, you know. I mean, they've got a really good name in Gloucester. And probably elsewhere as well. I'm proud of me Fielding and Platt bit. You know, and I think they did teach me well. You know, like I say, I'm still doing what they taught me to do. So I must be doing something right.
I was talking to one of the older guys earlier this week. He's one of the people who's interviewing for this project, an old Fielding guy who's just volunteering and doing some of these interviews. And he was saying that when he was in the apprentice school, he'd made one of these scribing blocks, which is one of the pieces that you've brought in, and that yours is much better quality than anything that they would have made back in the day. They obviously did teach you really, that's, really well.
If I was making that today, I could make it twice as good. I really could. I mean, I was a 16-year-old, just left school. There's a milling machine. A what? You know, if I was doing it now, I could do it so much better.
Roy, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No. I think I'm done. I've been talking enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.